So, it is rumored that after local elections in Turkey this weekend, there very probably will be a revote on the question of whether Turkey will allow 60,000 U.S. troops to be stationed on their border with Iraq for the purpose of launching a northern frontier in this pending war. This is of great concern to the Kurdish minority that exists in Turkey, but also the Kurds that live just across the line in Iraq, who have largely been autonomous and self-governing for the last 10 years. Joining us on the telephone is Connie Zulam, who is director of the American Kurdish Information Network in Washington, D.C. Connie Zulam, good morning.
Good morning.
Explain to us how it's possible that the Kurdish population in northern Iraq has been largely left alone and allowed to be self-governing for the last 10 years. How did this come to be?
It was purely accidental. It came about in 1991 when the U.S.-led UN coalition dislodged Saddam Hussein from Kuwait. And in the process, when the war started on January 16, 1991, when the bombardment of the Iraq started, after I believe it was like second week or third week, President Bush urged through Voice of America the people of Iraq to rise up against the butcher of Baghdad, as he put it. And the Kurds in the north and the Arabs in the south, who had had enough of Saddam's brutality, after basically Iraqi troops had withdrawn from Kuwait, felt that U.S. Credibility was at its peak because Kuwait had been liberated, and they believed in what the U.S. president was urging them to do, and they fought the central government or the troops loyal to Saddam Hussein. And for literally in Kurdish region for about 3 weeks, we were totally free. We totally liberated our areas of the Arab soldiers and Baath officials. And as the ceasefire talks took place, apparently Saudi Arabia and the Egyptian leaders asked President Bush not to walk all the way or not to march all the way to Baghdad. They didn't want apparently Iraq to be dismembered. Remember, Iraq is an Arab state, has oil. And so they didn't want Iraq to be dismembered, and that meant to let Saddam assert his authority over the country called Iraq. And so the Kurds in the north and the Shiites in the south were left to the tender mercies of Saddam Hussein, who was given the right to fly aircraft as well as helicopter gunships. And because 4 years earlier, in 1987, the Kurds had been gassed, they were very fearful of Saddam coming again in 1991 with chemical and biological weapons. And there are reports that some of the gunships actually dropped powdered sugar and flour over the Kurdish cities and towns to scare the people, which resulted in the mass exodus of 3 million Kurds taking to the mountains. Those scenes were telecast to Europe and to America, thanks to the media. And that's when the First Lady of Britain, Norma Major, and the First Lady of France, Danielle Mitterrand, felt sorry for the hapless Kurds. And they urged their husbands, who in turn urged President Bush, who apparently at the time was fishing down in Louisiana, to initiate the operation Provide Comfort. In the past 12 years, it has given us a golden opportunity to be free of the Arab rule, and we have had freedom and we have had liberty, and for that we're grateful to America. And we have but now there's talk of entrusting it to the Turks, which we fear it will go down the drain.
So let me just ask about the powdered sugar and the flour. The concern was that it was thought to be some sort of biological or chemical weapon, right?
That's right.
Okay. So the concern now, I mean, when we hear about this situation of wanting Turkey to open up its country to allow military forces from the U.S. to position themselves to get ready to go to war with Iraq, that's mostly what we hear about. We hear very little about what the Turkish military, how they would operate in that scenario and what that would mean for the Kurds in northern Iraq. So can you talk about some of your concerns if this proposal were to happen? What would be your main concern where the Kurdish people are concerned?
It will mean a period to Kurdish experiment in self-rule. It will literally bring it to an immediate halt. I need to tell you, in the Middle East, there's a culture of intolerance towards the Kurds, not just from the Arabs, but also from the Turks. Not just from the Turks, but also from the Persians. We're talking about a minority of some 40 million people living on a tract of land as large as France, occupying that part of the world since the dawn of history. We are the native, the indigenous people of the area. But at the end of the First World War, we found ourselves partitioned by the British and French imperialists. And then when they left the area, we found ourselves ruled by the Arabs in the south, by the Turks in the north, and by the Persians in the east. And to this day, in the past 80 years, we have tried to get on our feet to free ourselves of the yoke of our neighbors. But unfortunately, we are powerless. We don't have enough strength to tell them to leave us alone. And they are powerful, and they have enough guns. And they, especially, for example, Turkey has 84% of its weapons come from U.S. And they have literally profaned and desolated our country with their priority in arms. And Turkey doesn't want any advances in terms of Kurdish civil rights or Kurdish political rights. The only analogy as a student of history I could give you is that in the 1930s, there was a culture of intolerance towards the Jews in all of Europe, not just in Germany. And it manifested itself in the ugliest way that we know, we have come to know. And today, the Kurds are not being sent to gas chambers. I have to tell you that. But they are not allowed to hold on to their identity. My parents, for example, didn't know a word of Turkish. I speak both languages, but our children can't speak a word of Kurdish. And that's cultural genocide. That's happening in Turkey, for example, as we speak, where majority of the Kurds of the Middle East live. And Turkey now wants to move into northern Iraq. We know them, and they don't need to be there. And unfortunately, the U.S. government has given them the green light to move into northern Iraq.
It's 20 minutes after 7 here on the morning show on KPFA. We're talking with Connie Zulam, who's director of the American Kurdish Information Network in Washington, D.C. And just a clarification, the Kurds are very predominantly Sunni Muslim, but they're not Arab because they do not speak Arabic. That's not their language. And the Turks, of course, are very predominantly Sunni Muslim also, but they're not Arabs because they speak Turkish and not Arabic. And Saddam Hussein is Arab because he speaks Arabic, and the central Iraq is Sunni, and southern Iraq also Arab is Shia. So so it gets a little complicated here. Linguistic cultural differences are very much the situation. If Turkey were to join the U.S. and invade the Kurdish areas of northern Iraq, the argument from the Turkish side is that they would be defending the territorial integrity of Iraq for fear that Kurdish Iraqis would declare their independence and create a Kurdish nation or homeland, which would influence Kurds living in Turkey to do likewise. That's their argument. They're fearful of a breakaway Kurdish state. How do you react to that?
I react to it vehemently. I resent their intervention. I also need to warn you that when tyranny bloomed and blossomed in Afghanistan, it hit our shores in this country too. To allow Turkey to assert its tyranny over the Kurds, not only in Turkey but also in Iraq, is a recipe for disaster. This country supposedly is going around the world fighting tyranny, fighting oppression, fighting those who enforce ignorance. And for Turkey to get away with moving into Iraq, or for with the blessings of the United States government to move into Iraq, is treacherous, in my opinion.
But what about the accusation that Kurds in Iraq intend to create a nation state of Kurds that would encourage Kurds in Turkey to do likewise?
That should be supported by this country. I mean, freedom is we say that we are serving freedom's call. We say that, you know, President Bush is fond of saying that liberty is God's gift to humanity, and America will do its share to expand the boundaries of freedom and liberty. For God's sake, we're not asking to occupy Turkey. We're not asking to occupy Baghdad. We're not asking to occupy Tehran. We're just simply asking for our right to be on our feet. We resent being forced to live on our knees. This is, I mean, the one complaint I have about the liberal media in this country, conservative media, is using our dead, the victims of chemical and biological weapons, to drum up support for the war effort. And we resent that. 14 years ago, when we were bombarded by chemical and biological weapons, Reagan administration did not even acknowledge our dead and did not even condemn this brutal act against the civilian population that constitutes a crime against humanity, that Saddam should have been behind the bars, just like Milosevic is behind the bars in The Hague. But forget that for a minute. Now, the conservative media is using our dead to drum up support for this war, which we don't think will bring anything good for the Kurds. It's been said before that when a tree shakes, the leaves on the extremities of the branches go down first. The Kurds constitute the most vulnerable, the most expendable, the most dispensable elements in the Middle East. When there's a shakeup in the Middle East, we will suffer the most. And that has been the case in 1975 when Kissinger sold us to present-day Saddam Hussein. And then in 1991 when Senior Bush sold us again down the drain. And in this year, in 2003, it looks like it's going to be the same. We should support freedom. And then the liberal media, the complaint I have against it, is they think, you know, the Kurds, for God's sake, they're going to ask for their freedom, and we should not support them because that's going to, like, really ruffle the feathers of Turkey and Turkish officials. Turkey is a tyranny. It doesn't allow, for example, one half of its population, the women, to wear what it wants to wear. Like the two daughters of the Prime Minister of Turkey today, or the Prime Minister-elect of Turkey today, go to school in this country because in Turkey they cannot cover their heads. And this is the only practice in all over the world. There is no place on the face of the earth where you have a dress code for university students the way you have it in Turkey. In Turkey, for example, one-third of the population, the Kurdish population, cannot speak their God-given language, Kurdish. And we tout Turkey as a democracy. We should not do that.
We're speaking with Connie Zulam, director of the American Kurdish Information Network in Washington. And Connie, I know that when people here in the left think of Turkey right now, the main thing I think they want is for them not to allow the U.S. military over there to launch this potential war on Iraq, because...
I do too.
Right. So the hope is really that if Turkey says no, then perhaps it will make the going to war with Iraq more complicated. But a deal seemingly had been worked out, where there was going to be billions of dollars given to the government. And now that is on hold, which I think has people, some people on the left, happy. And it might be being reconsidered after elections there. So do you expect, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but do you expect that this will eventually happen and that Turkey will allow U.S. troops there?
I do, for several other reasons. One is Turkey is very beholden to this country. In February of 2001, there was a financial crisis in Turkey that resulted in the U.S. IMF bailout of Turkey in the tune of some $32 billion. In this conflict, Turkey has blackmailed the U.S. to give Turkey some $26 billion, $6 billion up front and $20 billion in loans. And to me, you know, this is friendship for rent, if you will, as some commentators have put it. I am opposed to war. I think what those parliamentarians did in the long run is going to benefit the cause of humanity if we want to take a dead view, or the cause of the Kurds if we want to look at it in particularly in the plight of the Kurds. And so I think that decision was good. It brought a smile to my face. happiness to me. But I'm afraid it's temporary though. I think U.S. is filled with the officials that have a sway over Turkey, like people like Wolfowitz, who praise Turkey as a model for the Islamic world. And I think they're going to prevail. My hunch is, I hope I'm wrong. I'm ready to eat my words. But my hunch is in the next week or so, we will see a reversal of what happened last week.
Well, Connie, if in fact there is not a war and Saddam Hussein is not overthrown and remains in power, what will be the fate of the Iraqi Kurds in the north in the next few years?
Good question. Well, I think U.S. will not allow Turkey to move in because Turkey, I mean, there are calls in the New York Post and some of the Eastern Coast newspapers, for example, to stab Turkey in the back, to support the Kurds with Stinger missiles. And I wish they would support our freedom and they would really, truly support our liberty in the sense that, you know, we deserve that. We're an ancient people and we, you know, we should be accommodated rather than be used. But I think my hunch is, to get back to your question, Turkey will not be allowed to go in the tune of like 80,000 of his troops be there to disarm the Kurds. That's another thing, one of their plans. And the other plan they have is that they want to control Kirkuk and Mosul oil fields. They seem to think that, you know, 80 years ago when Ottoman Empire broke up, they want to say that those cities now belong to them if Iraq breaks up. But my hunch is U.S. will stop them. In my opinion, if the longer it stays around, the more it becomes the de facto thing, becomes de jure. And that's what I would want, personally.
Okay. Connie Zulam, director of the American Kurdish Information Network, if people want to get in touch with your organization or just get more information, how can they do that?
We have a website. It's Kurdistan.org, the name of our country, .org, KURDISTAN.org. And they could write us emails. We have a lot of, our opinions there for people to understand what's going on from our perspective.
Okay. www.kurdistan.org. Connie Zulam, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
7:30.